Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
How are we going to know if we've got the genuine article or not? And my conviction is God has given us his word. It's 66 love letters. Now imagine somebody loves you and they wrote 66 love letters and you left them all on your mantelpiece, unopened, okay? And you said, oh, I have those letters, you know, and you venerate them and you put a nice little gold binding around them or something. You never opened the silly things, you know. And the word of God is like that. God has given us his word. But better than that, he's given us the Holy Spirit who interprets and opens the word to us.
Yeah, but we have to ask for, this is the
Absolutely.
Holy, we have to ask for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's an adult conversion experience.
That's right, yeah.
And usually when we're doing this program, there are lots of people listening now that are broken today for all kinds of reasons.
And
more in this century than other times. Massive. Yeah. The calls I can get from people on it. And I say, look, you must get into the living Word of God. Have a relationship with Christ. Forget about the religious and rituals and everything of the past. They have no meaning whatsoever. Just repent. Ask God the Father in Jesus' name and repent and ask. Jesus says, you can't come to me unless my Father draws you. We've got to encourage people to go to God first and say, Heavenly Father, I repent for my sins in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And he brings you closer to Christ.
Yeah. And I found also my experience in evangelism, talking to people, there's a difference between repentance and confession. In the Word of God, it talks about if we sin, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is written to believers, right? That is written to people who already have a relationship with God. But repentance is like at the very door in entering into that relationship. Repentance means like a 180 degree turnaround of your life, where you get off the throne of your own life and you say, no longer am I going to be the most important, but Jesus will be. And Father God, I'm sorry for breaking your law. You know, the truth
It's as simple as that.
It's very, very
people uncomplicated.
Can do it this afternoon.
Man in his ego and trying to validate his own existence and being a religious or a holy man. And most of them are lovely, caring people. I met hundreds and thousands of them over the years because I served Mass in Vincent's Hospital for nearly 10 years in Stephen's Green. And then I went to University of Church in Stephen's Green and I served Mass there. I met lots of hundreds and hundreds of priests and nuns down through the years. And I never had a bad experience.
Yeah.
Lots of people can't say that.
Yeah.
But I always felt that God had his hand on my head and I was that's the way I was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still a sinner.
That's right. There's two mistakes people make, John. And one is God is divine and God is holy, right?
Yeah.
And mankind is fallen and sinful. And
the
mistakes people make is they pull God down. They say, oh, well, you know, Jesus, he wasn't quite 100% there now. They make that mistake. And they also elevate man higher. They say, well, mankind's basically good. And so people cannot understand, for example, this horrific thing that happened in England with the murder of that poor soldier,
days, yeah.
You know. I mean, people think, oh, man's basically good. Oh, those Muslim chappies must have had some bad upbringing or, you know, it can't be their fault sort of thing because mankind's basically good. That is just one big fat load of horse manure.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I can say. Because the truth is mankind is wicked. And if I said this to somebody on the street yesterday. I said, if the restraints were lifted off, if, for example, in Ireland, all the supermarkets were empty of food, if all the ATMs were empty of money, we would see the true nature of mankind revealed. And we would see that most Irish people are really nasty people. They were good people until the test came.
That's right.
And that ups the urgency for this new heart that God talks about. God desires it to be in people.
Yeah, but we inherited the Adam and Eve nature.
Oh, yeah.
But then Jesus says when he went to the Father, the ruler of the world is taken over, which was Satan,
mm-hmm.
the minds and the hearts of men and women for all generations. And he said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Yeah.
I went through the ringer for the last few years now with my wife Dolores, and I can only for the Holy Spirit, talking to Betty and Neil and a few people during the week, that I have a chaplain on the phone, I would not have been able to cope in the last 10 years, even to the present day, had I not come into a relationship with Christ, personal relationship. and ask for the Holy Spirit after repentance. I would not be able to cope, and I mean that sincerely.
I believe you, John, and you touched on a word there, which is relationship. See, God's promise is not that you're going to have a bed of roses from here on in if you serve Jesus. No, but you will have a relationship. And if you've got a father who loves you and will hold your hand, you can go through amazing things.
Yeah, you can.
If you feel rejected and abandoned and separated from God, it's a zoo out there. It's a war zone.
There's no doubt in the world. But then I've learned to love myself, which is for not in a selfish way. But if you learn to love yourself, you can love others. But the thing about it is this, that we've inherited the Adam and Eve nature. Mm-hmm, and that it's in Galatians, I think you and I have talked about it before, where it tells you exactly what is possible for a man or a woman to do. The nature has to change to a Christ-like nature. That's why I agree with the two bishops that to be reading the scriptures and to be in a relationship with Christ. But to be, as you said there now, it's terribly important. To be born again from above is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody can forgive your sin. No man in the world, I don't care if it's a king, queen, pope, or anybody, no man can forgive you your sins, only God.
That's right, only God alone.
Only God alone.
But in that forgiveness, John, the price is paid. This is another thing that hasn't really gone out over the airs in Ireland very much. The fact that a sin has a price attached to it.
But it's already paid for.
That's right, but we must understand with the blood of Jesus at the cross, when he died, the justice of Holy God was satisfied.
But then down through the generations in Ireland, we had certain corporate churches adding a whole lot of good things that you could do, novenas and climb holy mountains and go do this, that and the other, for to make up as if Christ's death on the cross was insufficient.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
but let's get blunt about this for a minute. That is such a grave insult to God.
Of course.
To try and add to his salvation. Akin to, imagine if, let's just say the Queen of England, for some strange reason, decided to invite you to a dinner, right? And you were at this royal dinner, and it was just most beautiful and sumptuous food, and you were treated maybe with some other people properly and rightly and amazingly, okay? And at the end of it, you put your hand in your pocket, and you thought, oh, sure, Janie Mac, I have a fiver here. So you decided you'd give it to go up to the Queen and say, look, there's my little contribution,
right,
you know, towards that. Well, that would be such an insult, wouldn't it?
Of course.
Because the point is, what's been given to you is a gift, okay? And in the same way with salvation, when God provides for our full salvation, and we decide we're going to add to that, we need our heads examined sometimes.
But the scripture does describe a lot of things that people do. A lot of people do things thinking they're pleasing God.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah, well,
you know, and good works. I know the parish priest over in Drumcondra a few months ago got up and told him on a Sunday morning mass, because I got a lot of phone calls about it, and he said to him, look, if you think you're going to get into heaven because you go to mass and go to confession and do different things, you're mistaken. I got about 20 phone calls from people in the parish saying, hey, John, what do you think of that? He's dead right.
Yeah.
Do you know? And about 10 days later, I was walking down Drumcondra, and who did I meet? Only himself.
Right.
Hey, he says, I come here. Yes, some tulip, he said, and he started laughing. He's a friendly type of guy, you know.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I told him, but I got about 9 or 10 phone calls about you. And he said, yeah. And I told him what the people said. And what did you say, John? I said you were dead right. You know,
mm-hmm.
And with that, he closed the boot of the car and we were laughing about it. But says, I, do you know where you could have done more? So, where? He said, you should have told him how to get there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He said, you can't slam the door on their face.
Can't tell them what won't work. You have to say what does work.
That's right. You've got to come in. And that's why it's terribly important.
Yeah.
There was somebody, it's like I like the new Pope. I don't know if you read anything about him. He reminds me of a typical Irish farmer, you know, a great way about him walking and chatting and everything. There's lots of things I like about him. But he said, you know, on one occasion there in the last few weeks, and he said that we have to look after the poor.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that was like the parish priest saying, if you think you won't get into heaven, if you think you're going to get into heaven because you go to Mass and Holy Communion, confession and all these to give your money to the poor, you're not going to get there. Now, I would like to have seen him finish that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Because if people are in the Spirit of Christ lives in you, God says, mm-hmm. well then, you're a child of God.
Yeah.
You're part of the royal priesthood.
Yeah.
You're a living saint.
That's right.
Now, if people live their lives in the Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit into their lives, you won't have people hungry.
Yeah.
You won't have people murdering people. Mm-hmm. It'll eliminate. That's what it's about, really.
Right.
So, to me, when they feed the hungry, was to look after the people that are not in the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right, John. You know, I think the other thing I think ought to be said too is, it's not like everybody is in a relationship with God. We know many people aren't.
Well, He knows that too. God knows that.
Yeah, God knows that.
So does Jesus, because Jesus says to the Father, I thank you for those you've taken out of the world and given to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we become born again. We're given then. God brings us closer to Christ. Christ is interceding for us and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Right. Now, what he means by in the world, people in the world, they're people that haven't come into a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
So God is looking after the rest of them, because that's God's business. Because he's building his church whether man likes it or not. But the Spirit of Christ if the Spirit of Christ doesn't live in us, you live in darkness.
That's right. And it's, you know, where it says, a very well-known scripture is John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life." Now, I want to just take that scripture and look at it the other way around. If you do not believe in him, the word of God is pretty much saying you will perish.
That's right.
You know, separate from God. Now, the urgency is to come into that relationship with Jesus. When I was on O'Connell Street, there was a big protest going on yesterday.
Oh,
and
right.
It was against austerity, I think.
All right.
And so there was a lot of people feeling very motivated to get out there, banners and protest against government stuff, okay? Nobody likes paying taxes, do they? render to Caesar what Caesar,
that's
render
right.
to God
you
what God.
You have to pay your taxes.
Yeah. But anyway, leaving that political issue aside, these people felt it urgent and necessary to get out on the street. And I would argue that the most urgent thing is people's relationship with God. You know, and it's really that's most important.
Yeah, but that's difficult, because I tell you why. The God of religion that I was brought up to believe in wasn't what I call a loving God. I was brought up to be afraid of God, to be fearful of God. There was no love there.
All right, but that's
because the new God that I know about now is a caring and loving God.
Well, to be blunt about it, religion is given to God the character of the devil in order to manipulate and control people.
That's what Jesus said, and leave in the Spirit, because the ruler of the world was taken over.
Yeah, he also said, you've nullified my words by your many traditions.
That's right.
And so again, get back to the source. I might have said this before, I'm not sure, but if you take a glass of water out of the Dodder River down by Ringsend, it'll be pretty murky and not drinkable. And if you go up to maybe Clonskee and you get a glass of water, it may be half all right. But if you go right up the Wicklow Mountains and you find the source of the Dodder, and you get a glass of water, it'll be beautifully clear and clean. Okay, so get back to the source before the pollution comes into it.
Yeah.
Get back to the Word of God, get back
right.
to a relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And get back to the cross where Jesus paid for every last
Well,
one
I
of
watched
sins.
A program on television this morning and I loved it. It was all the gospel choirs from around Ireland.
All right. Yeah.
In Bray.
Yeah.
And I was delighted when they brought her to cross with no image on it.
Mm.
Because I don't like the image on it, because Christ has risen. So when you look at the cross, I can see the Christ crucified, but I can see him risen then when I see the empty cross.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit disturbed, because it was the gospel music was just beautiful. It was just fantastic. And the Lord's been said, loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
But even in singing like that, people think they're in communication with God.
Yeah.
But they may not be.
They may not be. And do you know what? I don't know how it is, but I can tell the difference between a gospel choir when the people love Jesus and when they're just trying to follow Whoopi Goldberg.
That's right,
you know.
Jeff.
And
you can feel it.
You know, you really can.
And I could notice a little bit of denominational stuff in the various preachers that were there this morning, too, the things that they said, you know. And I believe the real church that Christ left us and God the Father wants, where he wants us, is it's a spiritual church.
Mm-hmm.
It's where two or three are gathered in his name.
That's right, there's two of us here. That, yeah.
Well, we're the church.
And Tony,
if
three.
Two other people join us and are in the Spirit, that's the real church.
Thank you for listening to Pilgrim Talk. To hear this episode again, or former episodes, please visit pilgrimtalk.wordpress.com and feel free to post a comment or even a question. Pilgrim Talk is a freely available conversation about what it means to be a Christian in 21st century Ireland.
Lord, you are my righteousness, the one who sanctifies my life, shepherd and my guide, banner of deliverance, warrior and my defense, in your secret place I